This morning, I want to talk about, as you can see, the power of love. Does anybody remember the old Huey Lewis and the News? Come on, I'm talking about some 80s people in here. That's the power of love. Huey Lewis had it. He was on to something. There's power of love. And well, we're not talking about the love of people. We're talking about the love of God today. Amen. You know, last couple weeks, we've been talking about one of my favorite kind of portions in scriptures, which is really out of 1 Corinthians 13. And here Paul is instructing the church at Corinth. And one of the interesting things that he says at the end of chapter 13, he's going and he's talking about how dynamic love is. And at the end, 13, verse 13, it says, "And now these things, these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." 1 Corinthians 13:13. The greatest of these things is love. And so we talked about faith. And faith is really taking God for who he is and believing in what he said. Right? And we talked about last week, we talked about hope. We talked about this enduring expectation of good to happen, but we talked about it not being anchored in circumstances and situations to play out. We talked about hope is something for us as followers of Jesus. It's anchored in eternity. It's anchored in God himself. That hope is meant to be placed in a person. That person is God. And we place our hope in God. We cannot be disappointed. Those circumstances, we don't know. Sometimes we go through trials and tribulations. And I think it's interesting this morning that as we look at 1 Corinthians, Paul, he said there's these things, these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these three is love. Greatest of these is love. You know, love is really, as we know, talked about in lots of different ways. You know, we have, there's family love. There's the love that I have for my beautiful wife and love for our kids, right? Love for our cousins and love for our family. There's friendship love, the kind of love that we have for our brothers and sisters and our people. There's this friendship kind of love. There's romantic love and, you know, the birds are singing and birds are chirping. There's even, we say we have love for objects or, you know, I love to play the guitar or I love the Denver Broncos or, you know, different activities. I love to go skiing. I love this and that. So there's different kind of love. And so love is talked about in lots of different ways. And again, kind of like any word, sometimes when it's so familiar to us, we start kind of like, it's kind of like dilutes it, right? It kind of like waters it down a little bit, or we don't maybe necessarily spend a lot of time thinking about it. So we look at what is love from a biblical sense. And some of you, when I said, what is love? You might have gone into that, you know, like Night at the Roxbury. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. But you know, what is love? Everybody talks about love, you know, and a few people that I really admire, Dr. Martin Luther King said this really impactful quote on love. He said, love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. I think he knew a little bit about what he was talking about. Interesting. Rick Warren, the pastor and author, said, the best use of life is love. The best expression of love is time, and the best time to love is now. So there's lots of different views on love, and love, again, for us, is one of those things that we use it in lots of different ways. And interestingly, as I'm sure you're aware, we live in a day and an age where love is kind of transformed into something that maybe Scripture doesn't speak about or isn't intending. How many people have heard this? You do you when it comes to love. You do you. This is kind of a modern mantra for the age that we live in. Kind of like, you do you. You can define love. Basically, the idea, the premise is that, you know what? You love what you want to love. I'm going to love what I'm going to love. And we're all good. It's all good. But really, is it all good? In our modern day, love can kind of be interpreted as, you know, whatever you want it to be. I can love whatever I want. I can love whoever I want in whatever way I want. And as long as I'm doing that, love is love. This is a modern kind of a thing. And I think it's, has anybody heard this? I mean, you kind of like, this is all around us. It's all around kind of popular culture. And it's something that we as believers, we can kind of feel pressing on us. This kind of idea of being thrust upon us. Love is love. Love who you want. You do you. I'm going to do me. Don't tell me who I can love or what love looks like. Let me define what love really is. So the question again is, who gets to define love? Is it me? Is it you? Is it your neighbor? Is it the government? Is it the church? Is it the school system? Who defines love? Who defines what love really is? And I would say for us as followers, disciples of Jesus, ones who say, I want to follow your ways, this is an important question of who really gets to define love. Is it my emotions, my feelings, the way I feel about myself? Is it my attraction? Is that what defines love? What I'm attracted to? Or does it go something deeper? I would say this morning, the very definition of love, the one who gets to define it is the architect, the creator, the giver, God himself. He talks a lot about love in this book. Well, I would say this is a love story. I would say this is the greatest love story that's ever been told. I would say that love is what created these pages. I would say love is what came down and rescued us. I would say love is what compelled the Creator, the Word of God Himself, to come down and be like a man, like one of us, and to lay His life down for us. And to take the cost of our sin, our brokenness, our shame, and to lay it down and to sacrifice himself so that we might live. That's what love is. So the definer, the creator, is the one who gets to define what love is, not creation itself. Again, this is so important for us, and it kind of seems like, well, duh. When you put it that way, it's kind of like, well, yeah, of course. But listen, we live in a day and an age where that is actually, that's under attack. Isn't that wild? What love is actually under attack. Who gets to define what a man, what a woman, what love, what creation is? Is it, are we really going to just bow our knee to a scientific description or a sociological description of what something is or what our feelings or our emotions, or are we going to choose to be anchored to something that's way deeper, way more eternal than just the summation of the knowledge of man, what seems right to a man's own eyes or to his own heart? Are we going to trust the Creator? We'd say, Lord, you define what love is. So we talked about a couple weeks ago, we said faith. We said faith is only as good as what you put it in, right? I can be driving down the car in my rickety old jalopy. I can put faith that I'm going to push on those brakes and the car's going to stop. But listen, it's only as good as that car is. My faith is only as good as those brakes, right? But we know, so when we put our faith in God, we will not be disappointed. When we put our hope in God, we won't be disappointed because our faith and our hope is only as good as what we're putting it in. Now, love is as only as good and pure as what it's being put in. If we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, if we love others as we love ourselves in the ways that God has ordained, then we come into alignment and agreement
with who God is, with what he said, and all of a sudden we start bearing good fruit in our lives. Some of us are wondering, man, why does my life feel so jacked up? And we're at the same time, we want to be with somebody that's a toxic mess. I'm just going to tell the truth for a minute. Listen, some of us want to be with somebody who's just a mess. Their life is a mess. But man, they're good looking. They smell good. Maybe they got a nice car. Listen, they're toxic. They don't love Jesus. Stay away from it. Don't let your love be pointed to something that's outside of what God wants for you. He wants his best for us. And when we come into alignment, all of a sudden, those things start happening. They start clicking. They start making sense. When we love what God loves, when we love how God wants us to love, when we understand what love is, we start being able to unlock things in our lives that have been bound up. I'm telling you, love is something that is, I believe, the most powerful force that God ever created was love. So much so that Scripture even says that God is love. 1 John 4 says God is love. So the Bible, again, has lots to say about love. Some of these scriptures about understanding for us godly love. How many people want to understand godly love? We see a lot of distortions, perversions of love, but let's look this morning, godly love. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting or eternal life. For God so loved this world, so loved you, so loved you that he came and he gave himself for you. He gave himself for me. Godly love is unselfish. Godly love gives. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Godly love covers. Godly love provides a covering, a protection. Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers all wrongs. Godly love forgives. John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so that you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Godly love serves. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. This isn't just something we talk about in marriage ceremonies. This is how we're to live. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. And where there's tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Listen, godly love is patient, kind, non-envious, not proud, honoring, others-focused, peaceful, truthful, protecting, trusting, hopeful, preserving, and never fails. God is defining love throughout Scripture. Colossians 3:12-14 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, that's you and me if you know Jesus, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against somebody, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Over all these virtues, so over all of it, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Say, binds them. So all these virtues, Paul says, the glue with all those things is love. The glue with all of those things, patience, humility, forgiveness, kindness, all of that stuff, all of that, compassion, the glue is love. The glue is love. God's godly love is a glue that holds all these things together. And these are just a few scriptures, but I want to tell you, like, do a word search for love in the Bible. Do a word search and see where it talks about love. And again, all of a sudden, the Creator is defining what love really is, what love really looks like. Is it really what the world says love is? You're attracted to somebody or something, and so you do whatever you want with it as long as it feels good. As long as it stops feeling good, then it's, you know, maybe you don't love it anymore. God forbid. God forbid we be that kind of people that would fall victim to the lie of the enemy. God defines love so clearly, so sacrificially. And he didn't just talk about it. God lives it out every single day. God so loved the world that he gave his own son for us, for you and for me, that we would be able to have eternal life, a life reconciled to God the Father, who looks down at us as his very favorite creation and says, I love you. I am for you, not against you. And I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm going to come down and in humility humble myself and become like you and live the life that you couldn't live and be your sacrifice and atone for you and cover you and live life for you so that you can be all I want you to be. Remember that saying, be all you can be? I know the army used that. Be all you can be in the army. But listen, Jesus says, be all you can be in me, in my love. And when we start understanding and receiving the love of the Father, if we start moving in this love, our lives, I promise you, will change. And I believe that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 that love is the greatest. And I want to say a couple of reasons why I think why. I think, number one, love, nothing is more powerful than love. Nothing in life is more powerful than love. Listen, this is integrated and written into the fabric of creation. I know we've talked about some of those animal documentaries and stuff, and sometimes I like to geek out and, you know, watch a reel on Instagram, you know, about some animals, and you see these mothers protecting their children. I saw this gigantic giraffe, and its little giraffe baby was under attack from this ferocious lion was coming and trying to attack it, and this mama giraffe came over, and boom, it was kicking that lion in the head. It's like, you're not going to do nothing to my baby. And it was a pow, pow. It gave that little lion a pow, pow. I'm talking about the king of the jungle. And he said, krek-a-kek. That's written into the fabric, you know, of our creation. You look around, you see the ferocity, the ferocity of love. We will do things for love you will never do for any other reason. Am I right? I don't know how, when I started dating Jess, I don't know how many miles I logged on my little Toyota Camry driving between her house and Aurora and my house in Westminster. I mean, like, I knew Highway 285. Is that what it is, 285? Which one is it? The 225. I knew 225, like, you know, I was like, okay, here comes that huge bump. I knew exactly, and I was traveling that, you know, I'd go over and see her and go visit and drive back to my house. And I don't know how many miles I logged, but I was logging miles for love. Hello! Logging miles for love. We do things for love we won't do for anything else. I remember being a parent. for the first time, and one of my kids, Zion, is behind the computer over there in the sound booth. But I remember this intense feeling of like, I will do anything that I can for this child, for these children. Love is powerful. God looked down and he said, I will do anything that I can for these kids, for these people. They can't do it themselves. They can't reach me by themselves because of their own goodness, their own righteousness is like filthy rags. I tried to give them the law. They couldn't fulfill it. They kept breaking it. I'm going to give them myself, and I'm going to pay the price that they owe. I'm going to be their advocate. I'm going to come and pay the price of death that was owed to them, and I'm going to pay the price myself because I love them so much. There's nothing more powerful than love. Godly love. Oh. God is love. God exercises his dominion and his rule through love. 1 John 4 talks about God being love. Let us love one another. I remember there was a little song I learned when I was a kid. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and anybody loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. Let's go. That was it. I'm glad I learned that song because sometimes that'll just pop in my mind. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Anybody that doesn't love doesn't actually know God because God himself is love. Now, love is not God. God is love. Right? Love is not God. Some people look at love like it's God. You do you. I'm going to get to define this. I get to choose. No, God is love. God himself personifies love. He exudes love. Everything that he does is from a heart of love and care and oversight. He loves us. Number two, nothing is more sacrificial than love. I believe that Paul said it's the greatest because nothing is more sacrificial. John 5:13, we remember this. It says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay one's life down for his friends. We must have got the wrong reference up there. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay one's life down for their friends. Love sacrifices. Love gives up. Again, freely we've received, so freely we give. What does that look like for us to receive God's sacrificial love, but then to give God's sacrificial love? What's it look like for us to start pouring out? We've received so much. We've received forgiveness. We've received everlasting life. What does it look like for us to pour out sacrificial love, to consider others as more important than themselves? For some of us, that'll look like going down to Argentina. For some of us, that'll look like serving at the food bank. For some of us, that'll look like getting more involved at the church. For some of us, that'll look like talking to your neighbors and saying, I want to cook a meal for you. I want to show you love. Taking somebody out for coffee that's lonely or sad, it doesn't have a family, something. Love is sacrificial. It gives up for the sake of others. Number three, nothing will endure like love. Love is everlasting. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. It's never going to stop. This love's never going to give up. It's never going to stop. We get to glimpse it right now here on this side of heaven. But listen, we're going to be the recipients of God's everlasting love. We're the recipients of God's everlasting love. Is somebody excited about that today? I don't know. That seems like good news. It seems like something good that we would want. God's everlasting love filling us and pouring on us and flowing through us. Freely we receive, well, freely we give. We've received this eternal, wonderful love. What is it to pour out that love, that eternal love? Tell somebody about Jesus. I'm just saying, tell somebody about Jesus. Invite him to church. Say, hey, I want you to come to church with me and we'll get lunch. Tell them about Jesus. In your conversation, tell them what Jesus is doing for you. Give people your testimony. Testify about the gospel of Jesus, because there's a lot of things in this world, but there's nothing like God's love for us. This everlasting, eternal love. This love that's not going to give us up. This love that's not going to give us a one-night stand. An encounter and then being gone. This is a love that is an inhabitation, an indwelling, an infilling, constant and eternal. Nothing will endure like love. Number four, nothing reveals God more than love. Again, John 3:16, I just love that. For God so loved the world that he gave himself for us. Didn't say that God so pitied the world, or that he was so mad that we couldn't get it figured out that he decided to come and deal with us. Said he loved us. Listen, love is not cheap. Love is very expensive. It costs something. The love that Jesus gave us cost everything. How many people know you can kind of define the worth of something based on how much somebody's willing to pay for it? Right? So if I go to Taco Bell, which I definitely do, glory to God. And I've got a craving for one of those beefy five layers. Oh, I determine, you know what? I don't want to pay $4. For a beefy five layer, I think the beefy five layer is worth, if I get a reward, you know, and like I get some, you know, discount, that's $2. I don't want to pay more than $2. I define how much it's worth. People look at this art that's created, you know, the Mona Lisa, and we see all these infamous paintings and sculptures. People pay outrageous amount of money for some of this stuff, right? You see some of these paintings, they don't even look like they were painted by people. They look like, you know, people just threw stuff up in the air and it landed. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's a masterpiece. All right. They're willing to pay millions of dollars for some of this stuff. But it's worth it to them. They say, I've decided that this is worth millions of dollars to me. Think about this. If those things, a beefy five-layer burrito, or a car, or a piece of art, or a house is worth something and it's worth paying for us, how much are you worth? You are worth the blood of Jesus. You are worth the blood of Jesus to God. That's love. That's the power of love. The power of the cross. The power of the death, the power of the resurrection, the power of the ascension, the power of life everlasting is found in that he loves us. He is willing to pay the ultimate price. Listen, faith has feet, hope has hands, and love has legs. It is a movement. It carries out what it says. Love is not stagnant. It is not just a word. Love has movement. It has sacrifice. It has action. And as God defines love, we receive that love, but we need to be givers of that love. Freely we receive, now freely we give. As Pastor Jack Hale said, being loved is life's second greatest blessing. Loving is the greatest. So being loved, it's second greatest.
Loving others, that's the greatest. You know, some of us have some real struggles with love. When I talk about God's love, some of us have maybe never encountered God's love in a way that's like transformed your life. I remember being 13 years old and in a little strip mall church. And I remember this outreach, it was happening that night, and you know, I remember feeling a lot of fear and I was scared for some reason, and I was just freaked out, and something had me disturbed. And I remember going outside and just feeling disrupted. And I remember this youth minister, this lady came out and she said, "Simon, are you doing okay?" And I said, "No, I don't know what's going on. I feel so scared." She said, "Can I pray for you?" I said, "Yeah, please pray for me." She started to pray for me. And I will tell you, I received the Holy Spirit. I received this love that washed away all fear. I received a love that I can't even put words to. I encountered the love of the Father in a way I've never felt like before. It's like you go to, if you go to a water park and you see those gigantic, like 100-gallon things of waters that fill up with water over time. And then all of a sudden you see all this group of kids underneath it, and it just like, it reaches so much that it like pours out and it blasts these kids over. That's what his love felt like. I was overwhelmed by his love and I just started crying. The Holy Spirit was loving on me in my time of need. He met me. Some of us have had such bad experiences with love, with our family, with people. We've been burned. We've been shut off. We've been abused. We've been hurt. We've been treated like trash. And we're nervous that God's going to treat us the same way. So we might sing praises to him or sing some songs, or we might read some scriptures, but we kind of have him at an arm's length because we're not sure he can be trusted because we've been broken and hurt. I'm talking to some people that are here that have been broken, that have not like fully embraced the love of the Father. And I want to say to you that the love of the Father is here for you. He wants to encounter you. He wants you to know how deeply you are loved. He wants you to know that you are worth the blood of Jesus. He wants you to know that he's never going to leave you or forsake you. He wants to come and he wants to fill you with his heart. He wants to touch you with his glory. He wants you to know you will never be the same after he encounters you. I believe that we're born looking for that kind of love. We're born desiring that kind of connection with the Lord. One of my favorite kind of Christian authors is a psychologist named Kurt Thompson. And he has this quote that I really love. And he said that we are all born into this world looking for somebody who is looking for us, and that we remain in this mode of searching the rest of our lives. We are all born looking for somebody who's looking for us, saying, "Does anybody see me? I can put on a face in front of people. I know how to do this show. I know how to do this mask. I know how to appear like I've got it put together. I know how to show up with this false self, this fake identity." But we're searching, all of us are looking for someone who's looking for us, and that person is Jesus. That person is God. He is looking for us. And the good news is he says, "I will draw near to those who draw near to me." When we put our eyes on the Lord and we say, "Lord, I want you to see me. I need you to see me." He will see you. And he will love you. And he'll bring you close and say, "You don't need to worry
about that stuff that you don't have figured out yet. I've got you. I'm with you. We're going to figure this out together. Let's have the worship team come up. I really do believe that there's nothing greater than the love of the Father for us. And I want to encourage us, you know, today's not just, and doesn't have to be just another day where we go and we say, oh yeah, you know, heard, you know, had some good worship, you know, heard a message. Great. You know what's for lunch. What if God wants to encounter us with his love? What if he does? What if he says that some of us have been holding him at arm's length, or some of us have been scared to come close, or some of us feel burned or disheartened, discouraged. Or some of us just need kind of like, you know, you go to like a you need a shot in the arm. You just need, Lord, I just feel drugged through the mud. I just need a big hug from you. I serve the kind of God that does that stuff. I serve the living God. This God that knows us so well, and he wants to embrace us. He wants to come with us. He wants to hold us into his arms and look into our eyes and say, I see you. I see you. I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you. I care for you. Let's all stand. We just want to respond to this love this morning. And for these next couple minutes as we sing, I just want to encourage you. Some of us, you might want to come down here to receive prayer. And you might want just to have somebody kind of agree with you in prayer over an encounter. You want God to experience, you want to experience God's love in a fresh way. We'll pray for you. We'll come alongside you and we'll believe with you for that. You don't have to necessarily do that. You know, we know the Holy Spirit moves all in us in all kinds of different ways, whether you're standing there, whether you come front. But I do want to encourage you, let's just encounter God's love together. And let's ask the question, what's it look like to express that love to other people? Because we have been given everything. And God wants us to give of ourselves, poured out, unselfish, hopeful, love, patient, kindness. I believe that God wants to just breathe life and clean up like pipes. It's almost kind of like we feel like sometimes like we're drinking good water, but it's out of bad pipes. And it's like this, those pipes are areas just of our hearts that have some like bitterness or unforgiveness or corrosion, and it's kind of corroding that good water that's flowing. And I believe that God wants to come and he wants to clean our pipes this morning. It's like he wants to remove all that gunk, all that junk, any kind of bitterness or anger or frustration or fear or doubt or heartache. So Lord, would you come? Would you come and clean out just the pipes of our heart, Lord? Would you just flush out any impurities, Lord? Would you just remove any hindrance to us being able to receive your love, for us being able to receive that beautiful, crisp water that you have for us by your Holy Spirit, that you would break up and remove any of the junk. And Lord, that you would break up and remove any junk that's keeping us from loving others as well, from pouring out into the lives of others. Whatever excuses we've got, we lay those things down. We say, come, Holy Spirit. Freely we've received, and now we freely will want to give. We love you, Father. We thank you for your great love for us. There's nothing like the power of your love, this godly love. And Lord, we just say that we are going to stand according to your word. Let you define what love really is. And know that so many in this world are struggling with what love is. They've had such a bitter distortion of it in their own lives, and they don't know, and they think that love is just love. It is what it is. But Lord, we know that you define love. You've created love. You are
love, and we want to move and operate in alignment with who you are, and help our hearts when we don't line up. Help our hearts, Lord, where we have confusion or sadness or hurt, clogged up pipes, Lord, that you would flush us out and we would be able to drink freely from the water, the wellspring of life that rises up. We love you and bless you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, I think every one of us can relate to this message, because we've all looked for love in all the wrong places. Amen. As the world culture says, what does love have to do with it? And our response is everything, because that's what it's all about. And as God loved us, he spoke these words of blessing over us, because that's how much he loves us. He wants to bless us. He wants to care for us. He wants to be gracious to us. He wants to give us his peace. So receive his words that he spoke to Moses and the priests to pray over his people. That the Lord would bless you and keep you. That the Lord would make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. That the Lord would lift up his countenance, turn his face toward with you. He knows exactly who you are and what you are. And thus he will give you his peace as he places his name, his love upon you. In the words in the Hebrew, Yivarechecha Adonai Ve'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panav alecha vihunecha Yisa Adonai panav alecha v'yasam lecha shalom. As his love fills us, his peace overwhelms us, knowing our God is for us and nothing ever can be against us. And Lord, we pray these things in the name of the Holy One of Israel, Yeshua, Jesus, our Lord. And if you agree with what's been said, let's all say amen. So be it. God bless you and have a wonderful day. See you at the picnic or downstairs. Get some women's stuff.
Love came down and rescued me. Love came down.